If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's the great and powerful Mr. E here. And just to let you know, we're taking our season break, but we don't want this stuff to stop for you so you can keep enjoying content. So what we decided to do is release a couple Patreon episodes. We let our Patreon members pick. The Patreon group's a really cool group. We have a lot of fun with those guys and gals from all around the world. There's a Discord page associated with that that comes with the Patreon tiers. You know, plus, you know, custom merch, limited t-shirts, you know, gift cards, all that stuff comes with our Patreon. So we're going to release a couple Patreon episodes this week that they picked. They got to vote and pick which ones you guys get to hear. So please enjoy this, and we hope to see you guys in season 6. Bye! I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Yes, Patreon.
All right. I already had like the dumps all morning. I'm not having that, adding it to my diet.
That's why you asked if it was Patreon or not.
Yeah. Well, I about just said it. Then I realized you pushed the button already.
Oh.
Ooh.
It's 11 a.m. and I'm having a lemonade. A strawberry lemonade.
Yeah, lemon. Yeah, straw. Yeah, you're right.
It's strawberry lemonade. It says it on the can.
On the can, so you're not lying.
Oh, gosh. Like I said, not great, not bad.
Yeah, drinkable.
It's an all-day drinking beer.
That's, I like to say that it's kind of like when...
anybody that's curious, I'm having... It's 11 a.m.
A natter day.
Natter day, yep.
Natural light.
And I hate every other Natty Light product ever.
That one... You know, that one's drinkable. It's not bad.
This is like I said, it's not like great.
No.
For $20, you can get 36 of them, and you can drink all day and not get hammered.
It's a good summer drink.
It's like a can of bread. We're going to do conspiracies, mysteries, and monsters of Chernobyl. I found a really cool article kind of just diving into all of them.
Wow.
We'll maybe do a full, like, break apart of the Chernobyl monsters and stuff like that. Because there's stuff, yeah. I just found this article, and it kind of goes over all of it and stuff, and I thought it was really fun.
Yeah. Well, then let me get this off my chest now that we're talking about Chernobyl. When we were in, hey, remember, I think we talked about it, I think it was on Patreon maybe, when we were in that developmental class, the special class in school. Your favorite teacher?
No, that was a DW episode.
Oh, okay. Maybe we overheard them talking about it, and then we talked about it off air or something.
It's Patreon. It's okay.
But when I was in her class in summer school, we had an exchange student that moved to Ada. He's from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say his last name, but first name is Kirill. But he moved from Ukraine, and I don't know why. I mean, I get it. I guess he was just trying to, like, fit in over here, you know? But he always had, like, this thing where he liked to just tell stories. Not, like, make up stories, but tell stories like a one-upper kind of person, you know?
Oh, yeah, no.
Which I don't – I mean, I don't – it's – looking back, you know, when we're in sixth and seventh grade, it's like, man, like, this had enough of this guy already. But, you know, we're kids. I don't know. It was annoying. But – so my friend said he was – the Ukraine – exchange student was talking about stuff, trying to put us down, you know, a little bit, like Americans. So my friend said, like, why are you, like, I don't know why he was doing that, like the one up thing. It was like a one upper thing. Mm-hmm. So my friend said, this is where I'm getting it off my chest because I never apologized for it. He said, well, at least we're not incompetent enough to let a meltdown like Chernobyl happen that we're still can't recover from. And then he shut up right there. He didn't say anything after that. And
yeah,
so it's now a Chernobyl
disaster.
Well, I'm apologizing to the exchange student from Ukraine from sixth grade about that comment, getting off my chest now.
You made the comment?
I didn't. My friend Ronnie there, but I was there as a witness. I didn't say anything. I just went like this. Oh!
I didn't realize how close to Kiev it actually is.
Ukraine? Or
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl. I was...
yeah. Yeah, I never realized how close Kiev is to the Ukraine.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
The capital of the Ukraine,
something,
right?
Something, I don't know, one of the big cities that we're supposed to pay attention to nowadays.
Well, let's try not to get too much into that.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I do want to make one comment about, not about that, but when they all started the Russian invading Ukraine or whatever, mm-hmm. when they occupied Chernobyl, mm-hmm. do you remember that, the week that they did that?
Russia?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Because there was the Chernobyl guards were all Ukrainians,
mm-hmm.
and they kicked them all out. And Russia took it over and immediately killed, like, a busload of soldiers.
Really?
Because they dug a latrine
into the,
in the Ukraine forest.
Oh.
And right now, like, a lot of the radiation is in the soil.
Yeah, it's embedded, yeah.
And it's in the water.
Yeah. Because
radiation is a heavy particle, or attached to a heavy particle, so it starts, like...
Sinking
really yeah. fast. Like, as far as fast as geological terms right. go, you know. 50, 60 years, you know, it's in the soil still, but
yeah.
a lot of the, now, like a lot of the biologists that go back to the Ukraine, it's not like the same level it was 30 years ago.
It's like the pitch drip. It
yeah.
sinks like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. The longest approved pitch is a liquid.
Yeah. That's funny you knew that.
Yeah. It took 7 years for the first drop to fall.
The actual drip. Yeah. Still going.
Yeah.
It's the longest experiment still going on today.
184 years.
I don't remember when it started.
I think it's because they had to add more pitch.
Yeah, it's still dripping.
Anyways, but they dug a latrine, and they dug it like 8 foot deep, and the one Ukrainian guy that was still left at the base was like, stop, like, don't do that. Like,
yeah.
You know, bad. That, and then all these guys, like, melted. Radiation's scary, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. Radiation is, like, the unraveler of DNA.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
No. But I just thought it was kind of funny that the Ukrainians, they had it managed forever, just sitting there. There's still people that live in Chernobyl, right?
No, I did not know.
There are still people that live in Chernobyl. There was one guy, like, I watch a YouTuber that backpacks through all around the world. And he went into Ukraine, or not into Ukraine, into Chernobyl specifically. And there's rules and stuff like, obviously. This he did this way before Russia.
Yeah.
You know, this is like 19 maybe, you know, right before COVID kind of, you know,
took over.
Out. So
ruined
he was
everyone's
there.
Lives.
And there was, I think they're the last living, but this was like a while ago, the last living people in the Ukraine or whatever. It was this old couple.
Wow. Okay.
And he went back and he visited them a couple weeks later because they had like nothing. But they shared, he's like, they were immediately, they shared everything with him and like, never, they have like nothing. They live in Chernobyl.
Yeah.
And so he brought like a whole big like bag of grocery stuff. Like not groceries, but just like a necessity stuff.
Right, yeah.
And they were all excited. It was just.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. It was, they were just nice people. They were sharing eggs and stuff like that. And you could see he was like thinking like, I probably shouldn't eat this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're eating it, so, but they're probably used to it by now.
They're also both, they were like 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
And they probably weren't 4 foot tall.
Shrunk them over time.
Well, yeah, they're probably because their bone density is failing. They're probably. Because they were like hunched over. They look like little troll people.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Chernobyl.
It's Ukraine.
One of the, if not the worst nuclear disasters ever recorded in history that was on accident.
Yep. Yep.
It was northern Kiev of Ukraine in the city of Pireta. And then there was the time the Ukrainian Soviet Specialist Republic of the Soviet Union.
Oh, it's a lot of history here in this area.
Yeah, near the border of Belarus. It was here that on April 26th of 1986. See, I thought it was earlier than that. I didn't think it was in the 80s.
When the meltdown happened?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was in the 70s.
Okay. I really don't know, to be honest.
Well, it was 1986. I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, thinking back, I didn't have a timeline in my head.
Well, you weren't born yet.
I know this. But thinking back, like, I knew about the disaster. Everyone knows about the Ukrainian, like, meltdown. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, timeline, when it took place in, history.
I bet you if you quiz a lot of people, everybody would say it was in the 50s.
Yeah, it just feels like it's an older thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I'm trying to look up right now exactly where. There it is. Found it on the map.
Because, see, like, a lot of people connected to the Mothman stuff, too. And it was, like it was after the Mothman stuff. So, but that's a long time gap.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay. A catastrophic nuclear accident occurred in the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, which would claim the lives of 31 people, plus many more years later. That's so, it's a weird that it seems like it has a really low casualty rate.
Uh-huh.
31 people died immediately.
Like that day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hundreds of coal workers died because that's who they sent in to try to get the foot and bury it.
That's smart.
Well, they told them.
Yeah.
Well, the Russian government made them.
I mean, they didn't know any. The cold, they're just, all right.
Well, they because it was to save everybody else.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And these people were, like, literally melting. There was a picture of a guy. Did I ever tell you this? There was a picture of a guy that was picking up with his bare hands and throwing it in the shaft. Because he pushed all the nuclear. It's basically, they call it the elephant foot. This big, like, sludge pile.
Yeah.
Of just stuff that was melting people. They were pushing a hole, then filled the hole with concrete. There was guys picking it up with their bare hands, chucking it in the hole. They didn't know.
No, exactly.
They didn't know. And, you know, these are coal diggers. Like, they don't know nothing. Like, they don't know nothing about this.
No. They
were told to go in there and throw all this
crap in a hole. Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm throwing crap in a hole. And then their hands melt off 2 days later. And then they immediately die. But we'll talk. Yeah. Many years later, sending radioactive material spewing out all over Western USSR and Europe. Cleared the immediate region of most of its inhabitants, affecting nearly 7 million people and causing environmental and health problems that still echo into modern day.
Yep.
Yet among all the human suffering, are they trying to piece together what happened? The region has become ground zero for an array of strange mysteries involving everything from wild conspiracies, ghosts, mutant monsters, UFOs, and many others. So this is kind of a little article. They kind of just grabbed a whole bunch of stuff. Do we talk about what happened? What caused the Ukrainian disaster?
The meltdown?
Yeah.
I don't think we have. Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
I'm going to give you the synopsis.
Yeah, there's a quick rundown.
Okay. The reactor was already on low power.
Yes.
So reactors like this are extremely safe. I want to make that very clear. Nuclear reactors are extremely safe when done correctly. This was not, it was an accident, but not an accident. It was a bureaucratic mistake.
Yeah.
So when the reactor's running low, it was kind of already as low as it could go and still be stable.
Okay.
So its power output was low. They were scheduled for basically what's considered a break test.
Okay.
And let's say you're running the reactor on high or higher settings, producing power. and the reaction gets unstable and injects lead rods into the core to just mitigate some of the radiation. It's like putting on the brakes.
Okay.
You can't do that when it's on low because it'll cause an unstable reaction the other way.
Okay.
So it's designed to stop an unstable reaction when the reactor is going too high. And once again, I'm not obviously a nuclear scientist. This is a dumbed-down version that was explained to me that I'm explaining to everybody. So these rods were – this test was scheduled for this date. But they were already running the core on low. Okay. So the guys running it said, no, we can't do the test because the core is already on low. It'll cause the core to go unstable. The bureaucrats from the USSR – said, no, it's scheduled for today. We're doing the test today. And this is where the arguments come. Pretty much at gunpoint, the guys that were running the nuclear power plant were suggested that they better do the test.
Yeah.
And they did the test, and the core went unstable and killed everybody.
Smart.
So it was not a scientist or a management mistake. Right. A lot of people blame, like I've seen all kinds of people blame the managers of the Chernobyl. They had a clean record. Mm-hmm. These guys were doing fine. Like I said, nuclear reactors, as far as that field, are pretty safe.
Yeah.
It was the bureaucrats from the USSR that caused the meltdown because they were scheduled for a brake test that day.
Pencil pushers.
And I think, if I remember right, one of the lead rods like ended up in orbit or something crazy like that.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't good.
Holy crap.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Because the lead rod, like I said, it's designed for when the was on full bore.
Right.
Slow it down. Yeah. Cool it off, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I say eventually, you know, with it being low, I can see it. Yeah, you trying to give it a good example would be a comparable, but being slow, you just shove that thing into it.
Think of it like a spinning ball.
Yeah.
So like spinning a basketball or something like that. When the ball is spinning right, it's really stable.
Right. Yeah.
The spinning basketball on your finger is really stable. When it goes too fast, it'll fly off.
Mm-hmm.
When it slows too far down, it'll wobble off.
Right.
So they had the slowing too far down.
Right. Yeah.
Where it became unstable reaction.
Gotcha. So when you put those rods in, it slows it down even more, and then it's just like knocked off the finger, essentially.
Yeah. And it was, yeah. And the scientists said it was going to happen, and the manager said it was going to happen, and the bureaucrats said that we're doing the test today.
We don't care. We do test now.
So much like many other disasters, Chernobyl was spawned a fair share of conspiracy theories. First and foremost, you have heard the whole thing was a cover-up for something more ominous.
Oh, I've not heard that.
In this conclusion, Ukrainian artist and documentary filmmaker Fyodor Alexandrovich came as he poked through the blasting ruins of the history area looking for answers. After studying the... You okay? Okay.
It's itchy. Dry skin.
After studying the sequence of events in the area, Alexandrovich became convinced that the whole incident was orchestrated as a nefarious parties for the purpose of drawing attention away from the failure of the Soviet weapon systems.
Ooh.
Which, both things can be true.
Huh. I never thought about that before, but I mean...
I got more about that.
Just that. Okay.
That's kind of the intro into it. That it was done on purpose in an area of quote-unquote Russia at the time, even though Ukraine's its own country. It was Russian ran during this.
Right.
They picked this because it didn't affect Russia very much.
Right.
It screwed Europe. And it drew attention away from the world from the failing rocket systems.
Like Russia's failing rockets?
Yes.
Hmm.
That they were not keeping up. So during the Cold War, this is at the very end of it, that Russia was failing to keep up. Literally, there's documentaries talking about Russia was eating itself financially, trying to keep up in the arms race that they were producing with America.
Yeah.
And it was failing because they had no money, no scientists, and most of the country was starving at this time.
Interesting. I don't know.
Because even though Russia's a big country, we've talked about it, most of it's under ice.
Oh, yeah. Like 90% of it's
the tundra.
Uninhabited.
The Siberian tundra.
The tundra, yeah.
Or swamps.
With the Denisovan Cave.
Mm-hmm. I'll read you about it.
Okay. Get more into it.
It's all orbits around the mysterious radar array. It's situated particularly right next door to the Chernobyl reactor, which was known as Duga 3. The array was designed in the 1980s as an early warning system to alert missiles that have been launched. And in this process, it emitted a series of mysterious clicks and taps that we picked up on the radio far and wide, which earned its installation name, the Russian Woodpecker.
Oh, cool.
They didn't know what was causing the clicks and taps. You build this array and it's clicking and tapping. It's not.
It's
like when you rebuild an engine, you hear a knock. I left something in there. So ruthless, powerful, and obnoxious was its instinctive clicking that it interfered with TV and radio signals and even aircraft communications all over Europe and even into the U.S. So this big thing they designed to just detect missiles was so badly designed. It was emitting clicks and pops. It wasn't just affecting like European, like it wasn't affecting their enemies. It was affecting everybody.
Yeah.
It was knocking out TV, radio signals, and airline communications.
From across the ocean.
Yeah. It was a big, it was like a boombox. Somebody tried to build a microphone and build a boombox.
Yeah, wrong intentions.
Europe and beyond. There were numerous complaints from all over the world about this thing. And it was supposed to be a secret, too.
That's
everybody's hurt. Like, we know whatever you built there, it won't shut up.
Yeah.
For a while, the meaning behind the sounds remained enigmatic, starting many conspiracy theories in the process. Here's a picture of it, if you want to see it. It's like a giant wall of radio telescopes.
Wow.
It's like the great, it's huge. I mean, it goes on for a mile and a half.
Huge.
Alexandrovich came to the conclusion that the ray simply didn't work by its assessment because the Aurora Borealis interfered with the signals and mucked everything up.
Wow, how does that work?
Aurora Borealis makes noise.
Oh, it does?
When it's burning off the ionosphere.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So not only was this thing broken, this humongous, expensive missile detection array.
It was so far north that the Aurora Borealis
It wasn't that far north.
Oh, it wasn't?
It was picking up the wrong sounds, and it was emitting sounds that was everybody in the world was complaining about.
Right, yeah.
So it was a big flop.
Yeah, apparently.
Right next door to Chernobyl.
Okay.
So this humongous, world-known flop of the Russian government at the time of the Cold War was right next door to the Chernobyl.
Okay, so they used Chernobyl as, like, cover-up from that, like, distraction from that.
So according to Alexandrovich, rather than admit that they had made a costly, and we're talking billions of dollars, and Russia didn't have billions of dollars,
right,
mistake on this noisy piece of junk, some of the Soviet government just understood they needed to lose a few people, launch a plan, they're willing to cause the explosion in the reactor meltdown at Chernobyl plant, in order to distract and derail the investigation into Duga 3. Alexandrovich.
Oh, that name.
Yeah. It's like it's two names. It's one name. It's messing with my brain. Became so convinced of far-out theory, he made a documentary called The Russian Woodpecker. I haven't watched it, but I highly suggest everybody check it out. I've seen a lot of reviews on it. I think you can still see it on YouTube, but you got to use subtitles.
Okay.
According to the crew, they plagued by numerous mysterious mishaps during their production, such as the shooting of one of them by a sniper while they were filming and harassment by the Russian secret police.
Wow.
One of the guys on the crew got shot.
Holy crap. Gave his life for that movie, I heard.
Oh, you know, he lived.
Oh.
He just got shot.
Okay.
Oh, it still sucks.
Yeah.
But it was a sniper rifle.
Yeah, that would really suck.
Is there anything to this? Did they figure out something? So, yeah, this is kind of the first one. What do you think of this? So this Duga 3 was billions of dollars to detect missiles launched at Russia. And it didn't work. It made so much noise. Everyone in the world complained about it and knew where it was.
Is that thing still there?
Yeah, that was a modern day picture I showed you. It's falling apart now and stuff like that.
So it's abandoned.
That big chunk in the middle was supposed to be full of radar.
More of them. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not. They didn't tweak it and fix it and make it work, right?
No.
Okay. Which is why they did the Chernobyl thing.
That's what his thoughts are.
Right, yeah.
Which Russia has a history of cracking a few eggs to make an omelet.
Oh, for sure.
They don't care if it's their people or not, you know. Especially during the Cold War, they had to win. And this was a public everybody knew this thing didn't work.
Right, yeah. Everyone, yeah. Once the public all gets involved, then it's like power behind it.
The world knew this thing didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And that's powerful. Like, you can't fight back against that.
So let's talk about the Chernobyl accident again.
Yeah.
It was done, it seems, on by purpose. Bureaucrats. Whether it was the Russian bureaucracy, I cannot talk today. Russian bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy.
Forcing this thing to happen because it was scheduled on this day, which does also make sense in its own respective right, that there was these pencil pushers essentially.
Right.
That's how Russia ran at this time.
They did it, but for the distraction, I mean, I can see.
Also, yes,
Like, I can see why. I mean, as far as why, their motivation behind it, it makes some sense, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, you're going yay or nay?
Oh, I have to. It has to be one or the other?
Yeah. I mean, would Russia do this? Yes. Did they do it? We don't know.
Right, yeah. I guess that's where I fall on it.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't say yay or nay, but maybe.
Because, you know, there was like an amusement park and, like, hundreds of families and stuff in Chernobyl. Like, Chernobyl had its own complex and its own amusement park for all the families because it was so far away from, like, the main cities.
Oh.
Do you ever seen the Ferris wheel?
Mm-mm.
There's a big Ferris wheel that's still out there.
Really?
Right next to the Chernobyl plant. Because all these people worked at the Chernobyl plant, all the fathers.
Yeah.
So they kind of made, like, a little community town around it.
Oh, okay.
It was
okay.
So far out.
Right, from everything. Yeah.
It didn't look like a fun little, like, village. Like I said, nuclear power is generally extremely safe. It produces very little waste compared to most other powers. Like, it's not just pouring out, like, toxic fumes like coal or oil.
We should build our own nuclear plant.
Well, you got to talk to that guy in Florida.
What, you steal his plans or his ideas?
No, remember, he built a nuclear reactor that sits in his living room.
Yeah.
That little star, and the only reason that nobody's taken him
is
he's the only one that knows
how
it's hooked up.
Yeah.
And if you take him, he's like, it's just going to go critical.
Yeah. You're done.
And it's a nuke.
Right, yeah.
You know, there's only a couple buttons it takes, obviously, from Chernobyl, you can see. There's only a couple buttons from nuclear reactor to nuclear bomb.
So there's, like, a little life hack for you out there, you know, if you just want to...
If you just build your own...
nuclear reactor and...
The government cannot mess with you.
Yeah.
Just make sure you hide how it's wired.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Because nobody knows how he's cooling it and stuff like that.
Make sure there's a self-destruct button, like, when you're removed from it, it's going to go. Like a kill switch.
Every 14 hours, I had to type in a new code.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be ridiculous. I would be like, all right, I'm done with this. Let it blow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The city.
Huh?
That'd be my final one. The city just makes me too mad.
Yeah. All right.
This is a nuclear reactor size of a soda can.
And I'm leaving.
Have fun, everybody. Even if the government did not directly cause this disaster, it surely showed some questionable ethics in the wake. In addition to keeping a lid on the disaster as long as possible, during the initial investigations, the cleanup operations Russia formed a group of expendable workers picked from soldiers' ranks that were sent to the danger zone. These were simply doom souls. They knew these people were going to die.
Yeah.
Everyone they picked, they knew they were not coming back. I want to make that very clear. The Russian government knew every soldier they picked was not coming back.
What'd you call them?
Well, I'll get to their names. It's called the Liquidators.
No, but you gave them a name, like Doomed Soldiers?
Doomed Souls.
Doomed Souls. Yeah.
So they're called Liquidators. Anyways, they already started the paper, like the letters to the wives and families that these guys were dead before they went to Chernobyl.
Yeah. Jeez. And they had probably had no idea.
They were soldiers. They didn't have a choice.
No, I know.
They knew it was bad, but nobody like really knew. Like the public, like they didn't, these soldiers didn't know.
They didn't know the repercussions of it. Like this hadn't really happened before.
So these doom souls, they could go off to war in Afghanistan for 2 years, or they had an option ish. You could go off to war in Afghanistan for 2 years or spend a few minutes working in the Chernobyl disaster site and then be released.
So it's either die quickly or have a chance at dying in Afghanistan. What do you want to do?
Well, they didn't tell them they were going to die. But no, nobody made it back from Chernobyl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you were young, keep in mind, some of these were 16, 17-year-old kids.
God. gosh. Well, yeah.
Are you going to go in a war for 2 years in Afghanistan?
Yeah, or 2 minutes over here?
15 minutes working in Chernobyl? It's like, you know where Chernobyl is? It's like, you know, 2 hours from your house.
That's right down the road. Yeah, okay.
And we're going to call your service done for, you know, you get all your benefits and...
Yeah. No, you used to do this for a month and you're, you know...
No, it's like a day.
I know. That's what they're telling the recruiter. Yeah, you go there for a month. We give you food and water.
We just give you a shovel and a candy bar and you're done.
Just clean up work. We need someone to do it. Right. Oh, okay.
So the men that chose the latter, they became known as liquidators. The men were mostly tasked with shoveling sand into the dangerous, highly radioactive reactor, the pit of death.
Gosh, so they're hovering right over it, just throwing sand.
Yeah, no, they were shoveling sand to make the concrete that they started filling in, and then shoveling radioactive junk back in it. Unfortunately for them, for many, this proved to be more than a death sentence with joining the fight in the Middle East. The vast majority of these guys would die from radiation poisoning or inexhaustible illness associated with working there. There were diseases that were only ever seen from people that went into the Chernobyl reactor.
Yeah. What'd they have, like a Vietnamese lungworm?
No, yeah. No, they had bones melting.
Oh, that one.
Bone melty disease?
Yeah, that bone soup disease.
One guy literally, I read one of the horror stories I've seen about this. He literally was in a hospital bed for 2 days after working there. And his DNA was breaking apart. And it's our best, and this is as far as the scientific mind, it's our best example of severe radiation toxicity.
Yeah.
Because his DNA fundamentally fell apart and he was literally melting. Like his bones were disintegrating, his organs and stuff were actively melting and kind of fusing together.
Did he live?
Yeah.
Okay.
For about 2 days.
Oh, okay. And
then he screamed and he wanted to die the whole time. He just kept asking for them to shoot him.
There's like a, he's, yeah.
And they studied him.
Is he? Did he have that super? No, he gained superpowers. Like
the superpower of death in 2 days.
No, on is it the movie Sky High? Remember, you know, you've seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one of the sidekicks, he turns into a puddle.
Yeah,
that's what he just turned.
He
into
just
that
never
power.
Learned how to turn back.
Yeah.
Is there something the Russians have already really advertised? The tale of the liquidators is mostly swept under the carpet.
Hmm.
So it's weird.
Is it different over there?
Yeah, like.
No, I meant like over here, normally you sweep things under the rug. So over there, it's under the carpet.
Mm-hmm. They don't have rugs.
We're so stupid. I'm sorry. I know.
The Russian government has also been accused of sparking rumors in the wake of Chernobyl disaster of mysterious illnesses that were called Chernobyl HIV. This supposedly unidentified disease was allegedly only passed from those who had been in close proximity to the disaster zone. And these people who had claimed to be at ground zero for some kind of potential epidemic. The thing is, there's no evidence whatsoever of such sickness. It seems to be a part of the effort to close off and isolate the affected areas, to leave them economically wither and die from more than everything else. Former U.S. Congressman, Alabama Secretary of State, Alabama Secretary of Legislative Glenn Broder?
I don't know.
Said this is the conspiracy. The most cool thing I ever heard of the epidemic rumor of Chernobyl HIV. The whispers, warnings against romance and friendship with impacted individuals. The dampening gossip of some sort of infamous sickness among victims and survivors of the region is baseless. But fear-mongering began to spread the rumor away. Such talks are not only hinder social opportunities for individual survivors. It discourages business from investing in the area of Ukraine, Belize, and Russia. So basically, they think that the Russian government started this rumor about this Chernobyl HIV.
Yeah.
So the people that survived couldn't talk to anybody
outside
after. Yeah. So these people that survived,
nobody wants to hear
everybody
from
shunned them because they had
HIV.
Chernobyl HIV that was supposedly contactable. The story was if you could see them, you could get it.
Wow. That's pretty strong. If it is 100% made up, that's pretty strong propaganda.
Well, nobody knew, right? This is the first time this ever happened on this scale.
Yeah.
There were smaller ones that, you know, Chernobyl's not the only nuclear power plant to fail.
No, it's just smart.
The grandest one to fail was Chernobyl.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, there was a forest in Sweden, I believe, or Switzerland, sorry.
Okay.
That was melted from Chernobyl outfall.
Man, that's crazy.
Because it got up in the upper atmosphere and rained 1,000 miles away.
That's crazy.
And a pine forest disappeared overnight because it was just nuclear fallout.
That's insane.
All right. So why would the Russian government have all this fun? Of course, we got to get in the CIA. Conspiracies.
They've got
they're involved in the Chernobyl target as well. The documentary, The Mysteries of the Abandoned Chernobyl, America's civil engineer and Chernobyl researcher Philip Grosserman explains that his analysis of the area is that he believes that the plant was more than a means to produce power, but also a site of nuclear weapons, which would make sense. We did that here. We hid nuclear weapons.
Oh, for sure.
The TNT plant, I believe, they were doing not only nuclear weapons, but all kinds of hidden stuff.
Like what? Like,
well, we talked about the Stranger Things kind of esque experiments.
Oh, yeah, that stuff. You know.
You know, it's a good way to hide under something that's already kind of dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Like a TNT factory.
That's what I thought you were going to say initially here with this, like the meltdown. That's what happened. It was
All right, well, Jay's muted for a little bit.
Come on.
Save it.
Let me speak the truth.
Anyways, so he believes there's more than proof power. Is also the site of nuclear weapons, making mention of Duga 3 radar installation as well. He believes that the site was capable of not only detecting missiles, but also launching them. Grossman was also an undercover manufacturing plant in the area, abstained from making consumer products, but which had evidence of also producing nuclear materials sealed off in hidden laboratories in the basements. So do you get what I just said?
Yes.
There was factories.
In the basements that were sealed off.
There were factories locally.
Right.
That did not make consumer products.
Oh,
they abstained from making consumer products.
Okay.
But nobody really knew what they were making.
Right.
So where was all this stuff going?
Going to, yeah.
Probably the nuclear factory in the basement.
Yeah.
So that's one of the thoughts is that, according to Grossman, basically the whole area, the CIA may have actually triggered one of the nukes in the basement to go off on purpose.
Oh.
So this wasn't the nuclear reactor explosion itself.
It was this nuke going off.
It was the CIA sabotaging
a nuclear reacting building site.
Or I'm sorry, a nuclear bomb building site.
Right.
And it was perfect cover because there's a nuclear reactor.
Right there, yeah.
That had a good, clean record. And it's supposedly, you know, like I've said, nuclear reactors are very safe. I think the only one in the U.S. that's almost gone up is Bessie near us.
Hmm.
And it's because of the quagga mussels.
I have no idea.
Basically, they need a lot of water, nuclear reactors, to cool down.
Right.
So the zebra mussels in Lake Erie.
Invasive.
Yeah, the invasive. They blocked the water intake and actually caught us red alert when they first invaded.
Ah.
Because they just cling to the grates.
Yeah, so no water to get through.
Yeah. So they had emergency divers go down there. Now it's regular. You know, now they know it's an issue. So now there's regular divers that go down there and they scrape and stuff like that. But when it first happened, it was like,
Yeah. Guys.
So, yeah. What do you think about the CIA going down in the basement of
being involved?
Chernobyl and triggering a nuke? So what do you think about, first off, I guess, what do you think about the hidden nuclear facility underneath the place?
Would not shock me. One, would not shock me because I know.
We did that here.
We do it here, and their CIA currently is involved with Ukraine and has been involved with Ukraine for God knows how long.
Ever? Just ever?
Maybe.
Since it was a country?
Maybe. I don't know the formation. I haven't looked in the history of the formation of that country, but.
Well, after, I don't know.
I don't know when it started, but maybe. It's scary to think about, like, that stuff could be how much in control of other things they might be. I don't know.
No, so it's interesting. I think there could have been a nuclear production facility underneath. Just because we did that here, why wouldn't Russia do it? You know,
right,
we build secret things underneath things that people obviously know are dangerous.
Absolutely.
Because it keeps the general people away.
Right, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, like people don't want to go walk on a nuclear power plant.
Right.
We have a stigma. Whether believe it's safe or not, doesn't matter. Most people don't want to go walk around a nuclear power plant.
I think they get their fix from watching The Simpsons. Yeah. That's enough.
So, like we talked about the TNT plant in Mothman.
Right.
You know, it was already a dangerous place. 99% of people did not want to go mess with it.
Mm.
And there was military presence already there.
Yep.
So you weren't questioning seeing tons of military vehicles taking in materials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it was already there. So that's why they would do it here, you know. And it is a target. So the CIA going underneath and triggering one of these nukes to go off.
I could believe it.
I could believe it, but it didn't have to. Like, it didn't have to be the thing.
Right, yeah.
The main story is also, I think, very plausible. Several of these stories are all very plausible.
Like what they said, what the official story?
Yeah, and that the Russians did it on purpose because of Duga 3.
Yeah, to throw them off the scent off, for the public scent off the trail.
Because there's like billions of dollars of waste when Russia didn't have money is a big embarrassment. The Cold War was just being fought with technology expansiveness.
Basically, yeah.
That's what it was.
The race to the moon, the race to nuclear arms, yeah.
To build the biggest, best, I mean.
Yeah.
That's where we got like the ray gun. That's actually where we got like everything, excuse me, from the internet to walkie-talkies to radar was all built during that time. Modern-day versions of those things.
Yeah.
Because they didn't come into the public. The internet came to the public in the mid-90s, right? 93, 94?
Probably.
Something like that.
I don't know.
It wasn't really used until like 98, 99.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when the general public were like, oh, this is the thing that...
Like when Windows 98 came out and they had that Flying Toast background screensaver, oh, you knew like...
It was time.
Yep. Thing, the world's about to change.
So that's what I got for conspiracies. You ready for some monsters?
Monsters? Okay.
There's a lot. There's several really fun movies. One is literally like fish people. I've seen like this is like when sci-fi used to do. Remember in summer, so every Friday in summer, the Sci-Fi Channel would make its own movie come out every Friday from like May through September.
Okay.
And I'd always come down to this house at my grandma's house, which is now my house, and watch them with her.
Okay.
They were always cheesy. They were always bad, but loved them.
The old monster movies.
Not like the old one, like the sci-fi heyday before Sharknado.
Yes. So, okay, there you go. Perfect. Pre-Sharknado, but post, like, you know, the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Like so in between
it was,
there.
It was definitely better than any of the Sharknado stuff.
Yes.
But it wasn't like, some of them were really good.
It had like the old movie charm. Yeah. Like so where it's a good movie, but kind of cheesy graphics. A lot of the budgets were
like 50, 60 grand.
Exactly.
But what I liked about it is a lot of those guys that made those actually made really good monster movies much later.
Okay.
Like blockbuster monster movies later because it gave them an opportunity. Sci-fi was just, you know, handing out like, here, you can make a film about, we need, you know, 50 films this summer.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, there's tons of production teams and they had some free will and they had a lot of like stuff they could do.
Right.
Anyways, in addition to human monsters linked to Chernobyl disaster or more literal ones. There have been many reports of mutated creatures and abominations said to prowl the irradiated wastelands. Think of Fallout.
Okay.
It makes sense that such rumors should arise as the public tends to equate high levels of radiation with bizarre mutations, which we should do an episode on that one day.
Okay.
Radiations causing mutations. Because there's not a ton of scientific evidence to support it. At least what we think of nuclear radiation.
Right. It has a nice ring to it. It has a nice title.
What?
Sounding. Like, what would you say? Radiation causing mutation?
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know, there's something there.
But this is the bread and butter of many science fiction tales. Some very real mutations have been documented and witnessed in the Chernobyl are dramatic and horrifying birth defects in some animals, as well as some behavioral changes in some populations. The specimens, which are on display in the Ukraine National Chernobyl Museum, produced aberrations, are irradiated mutant monsters prowling this area. So, yeah, let's talk about some of these animals that have been affected.
Okay.
Ever since the disaster... There's been sporadic reports of oversized wildlife roaming the areas of Chernobyl, as well as monstrous fish cruising the depths of the lakes and rivers. So there's this giant canal system for cooling the nuclear power plant that is said to be home to an actual monster.
Okay.
And it's supposedly killed two divers.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Because there's a divers that have to go in twice a year
to
check to make sure that there's not radiation leaking into the water because the water does leave the Chernobyl area.
Okay.
And one of the divers supposedly had his arm bitten off and died from bleeding.
Holy crap. Okay.
So, notably, there are vicious reports of massive fish allegedly caught, which are said to be far beyond the normal size of these species. The phenomena was most famously brought to the public's attention by Jeremy Wade.
Really?
Yeah, River Monsters. He did River Monsters in Chernobyl.
I didn't know that.
Wade received specific permissions to enter the disaster zone and fish. He had armed guards the whole time.
Was this on a
episode of? Yes.
Oh, wow, I didn't see this one.
Trying to catch a monster oversized mutant catfish that prowls the cooling channels of Chernobyl reactor. Which he did. Though the episode radiation detecting equipment goes off the charts numerous times, literally they were wandering around and they would have the radiation detectors on their side and they would just walk over a spot that would just jump. Like, crazy.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah.
We'll talk about some of the fish. But yeah. So he caught Wells catfish, which are not native there.
Right.
They are one of the biggest catfish in the world, top three. But the weird thing with whales is they only get that big in non-native habitats.
Okay.
They do not get that big where they're supposed to be.
Okay.
That's kind of a weird thing with whales.
It is.
Like, they only got to, like, 60, 70 pounds and, like, 5 feet long.
Normally.
Yeah, normally. And then when they're invasive, they get 10, 12 feet long and 700 pounds.
Why?
Because we talked about those They don't have their same predators. They don't have the same restrictions.
Oh, okay.
They do a lot better. A lot more food abundancy.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as much competition for their specific niche.
Yeah.
So they can kind of bully their way through and make more food availability. So we talked about the catfish specifically have undetermined growth rate and undetermined lifespan.
Right, yeah.
So if there's a lot more food availability all of a sudden, they're going to get bigger.
Yep, if the environment allows it. They're a product of their environment.
There's also zander there, which are a cousin of the walleye.
Okay.
To Europe. They have longer faces, bigger teeth, and they're generally a lot bigger than our walleye here in North America.
Okay.
For anybody, yeah, big toothy fish, which they can get kind of mean. But he caught both there. Weird thing is, he only caught one large Wells catfish. He missed several of them because the area he was fishing was extremely full of debris. They kept breaking them off. The Wells catfish he caught was 50% smaller for the age it was.
So that it didn't.
It had stunted growth. It had stunted, spinal issues.
The opposite effect.
And it had two sets of jaws.
Ooh.
So it was severely mutated.
This is what Jeremy Wade caught?
Yes.
Wow. How did I not see this episode?
Severely mutated. The fish was radioactive. They tested it. It wasn't anything lethal to be around, but it's definitely an animal you didn't want to hold very long.
Okay.
But some of the biologists that were on the show were talking about that it could swing either way. If this is allowing, if this creature stunned it, there could be genetic mutations that are allowing the creatures to get bigger than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And there was plenty of fish there. I mean, literally one of the outflows had just piles of zander, which show you there's piles of bait fish.
So
a lot
which means that there's something there eating them?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's food available.
Right. Okay.
There are like moose and stuff in the area. A lot of the birds. So the weird thing is songbirds are the first thing to come back. We're seeing color mutations in them. And a lot of time it's muted colors. It's not like more exaggerated colors.
Yeah.
And we're seeing them all have shorter lifespans, which we'd expect to see in radioactive areas.
Mm-hmm.
Fish are kind of a little different, especially the catfish. Can be extremely resilient animals.
Okay.
So they can kind of blow their way into maybe living a little longer than the normal animals would. Zander are kind of a weird one to me because generally speaking, perchids, which is the family walleye, zander, and perch belong to, the perchidae, are more on the sensitive side, either on the middle or on the sensitive side.
Right.
They normally don't handle a lot of the crazy stuff.
Are they are they living though?
Yeah, or? There's tons of them. There's tons of zander there. That's the big toothy one that they think maybe. But Wells catfish are known for being highly aggressive. They're a bite first and ask questions later kind of fish.
Okay.
They can't they don't have teeth. They have gripping pads. They can't really bite through your arm. They can drown you.
They can grab you and hold you down.
They a 12-foot long Wells catfish, you will not come up to breathe again if he just grabs you and holds you.
Okay.
That's an animal you cannot pull yourself out of its mouth and, fight against.
That'd be scary.
Yeah, I mean, you'd just be dead.
I would burrow into it. I'd let it swallow me. Burrow into its body, control its brain, and then swim it me up to the surface and get out that way. So simple. People just don't think of these things.
People just don't think.
In panic situations.
Another incredibly weird report stalking of monsters around the 1990s that seemed to point to some sort of giant mutant spider. A lot of people's favorite episode of the main show.
What is
giant
that?
Spiders.
The ice spiders?
No. They're just the giant spiders we did in the Congo. Which is one of the episodes I thought I did the worst on. So,
I don't guess there's enough.
I'm my own worst critic if anybody hasn't can tell yet.
Maybe spiders are just that thing. You either love them or you hate them. You're deathly afraid of them or you just need more.
I love spiders. I don't like holding them.
Okay.
Because I don't want to kill them.
And you don't want them to kill you.
But there was a tarantula I held, I think, at a zoo one time. And the tarantula didn't bite me. The hairs, they had a bad reaction to.
Okay.
And a lot of people, they're like fiberglass hairs. And they kick them off.
Yeah.
I don't want to kill a spider, but I don't like when they run up your arm and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, or they come down a web and land on you.
Worst bite I ever had was actually a jumping spider.
Ooh, those little like black ones?
Yeah.
Fuzzy ones?
Yeah, I was trying to get him out of the house and he actually bit my hand. And it didn't like leave a lump or anything like that, but it hurt.
Yeah, did you squish him?
No.
I would have after that point.
He was on a spot I really couldn't get him.
Yeah.
But if he would have bit my palm, it probably would have not ended well for him.
Yeah.
So another weird report from the 1990s. Tell states that the discovery of an unidentified human sumped over body with a black decapitated tower or block. The man was allegedly found sprawled out over an elevator. An examiner of the corpse found that there were two yellowish-blue bruises with puncture marks in the neck, and that there was rather an earthy shade of pale. So they found this guy that was just near one of the elevators in Chernobyl.
Okay.
It had giant puncture wounds in his neck. He looked like he died from some kind of toxicity with the colors of the wound itself and the colors of his body.
Oh, like, okay.
So something injected venom in him, essentially.
Yeah.
When the corpse was brought to the examiner, it was found that the cause of death, the examiner, was blood loss, with the body particularly sucked dry. Yet no sign of blood stains were found anywhere in the vicinity of the body where it was found. There was also found no signs of foul play or forced entry in the area. The story allegedly immediately caught on as the local residents of the tower block, who began to speak of some foul vampire killer on the loose. And the rumors were the authorities were eager to squash. The rumors of some sort of vampire on the loose continued to swirl. The panic increased until 1 month later of the first killing residents of an apartment block heard the frantic screams of a girl emitting from the elevator and contacted the police. So we have another kill.
Mm.
This one people are hearing. So this is like a place where these people are still living in Chernobyl.
Yeah, and they're hearing this woman being murdered.
Yeah. Horrific authorities discovered a corpse of a 13-year-old girl trapped within the elevator that had been or they'd been stuck between the fourth and fifth floor of the building. Once again, the body of the girl was found drained of blood with bruises, yellow puncture wounds on the neck, or sorry, marks on her breast. Earlier, it was the very same elevator the previous victim had been found in. The second death, ramped up rumors of the vampire killer. Humans or otherwise panicked residents shunned using the elevator. For that part, the authorities partially tried to downplay the incident, claiming that the girl had died of a heroin overdose, despite the fact no syringe had been found, and she had two giant holes in her breast.
Mm. Well, that's where she injected the heroin.
A 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like quarter-sized holes.
Big needles.
Yeah.
It's probably why she died, you know?
Locals were unconvinced. They insisted there's some maniac or supernatural creature on the loose. In order to try to curb the sinister rumors, quell the growing unrest and the crimes were causing, they put at ease, the detective and the police sergeant were allegedly assigned to spend several days regularly riding up and down the crime scene elevator for hours.
Hmm.
So a detective and a cop were like, all right, we're just going to sit and ride in this elevator all day.
Up and down.
Every day.
Yeah.
Until the vampire comes in, we beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Very, very Russian.
Good plan. Very good plan. We'll wait for the vampire and...
just beat him to death.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know. I have no Russian accent. I don't know.
Just beat him to death, comrade.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about the only one I can kind of do.
Man.
It is said that one such patrol of the elevator suddenly stalled between the fifth and sixth floor, and the lights went black, forcing the two men to use their flashlights. Even at this point, the policemen were not particularly alarmed, thinking because it was a very old elevator that had broken down and would be back in operation before long. They used their two-way radio to inform their colleagues of the department and waited for rescue. Apparently, the two men became alarmed, though, when they heard an odd clicking noise from above them, and they trained their flashlights upward to catch a glimpse of a dark square of the roof panel that had become dislodged as if something was picking it up.
Mm.
It was from that point the strange sound was coming, and after a moment of training their flashlights on the hole, they supposedly noticed a furry head about the size of a man's fist peering in at them. The sergeant allegedly drew his weapon, but ordered him not to fire yet. And the thing seemed to be cowering from the light, so it was kind of stuck too.
Mm.
In order to test their theory, the detectives allegedly turned off their flashlight, and whatever it was shifted and moved, revealing itself to be an enormous spider with legs that are easily 3 foot long. They supposedly sent the sergeant into a panic, and he dropped his flashlight, which went out. Now, bathed in darkness, the creature is said to have descended into the elevator and proceeded to attack the sergeant, biting him over and over again until the detective managed to get his flashlight back on and fire his weapon, scaring the creature away and allegedly shooting off one of its legs.
Mm.
According to the story, the emergency response team arrived to find the sergeant dead from blood loss and the spider's leg quivering on the floor, twitching. This whole account was a wild tale for sure, and it's hard to know if it's true or not. According to some stories, the whole incident was supposedly a cover-up for authorities to manage from a Turkish newspaper, which allegedly first broke the news. The newspaper account apparently mentioned the spider's lair was subsequently destroyed, and its large eggs were found nearby. The theory is that the origin of a giant spider mutated by the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. Since the outlandish tale was based off the rumors from the reports of a Turkish newspaper, it could all be a tabloid, considering the officer's story. This giant spider, the vampire, the Chernobyl vampire was a real thing. Like, I can find accounts of people saying that the Chernobyl vampire killed people.
Yeah.
But, some people were saying it wasn't a vampire, it was a giant spider.
Hmm.
Now, we talked about giant spiders and time slips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the giant spider episode, we talked, like, that's how big some spiders were.
They were just that gigantic already. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe the disaster caused time slips and some creatures leaked in.
Slipped through and out.
Well, the clicking noise was weird to me. It made me think giant bat.
That's what I thought at first. I think...
But some respiration systems of large insects sound like that.
Okay.
This isn't an insect. You know, it's an arachnid. Right. But they have that same kind of pull-through breathing system in their sides.
So it can make that.
Because I've heard it with Titan beetles and stuff like that, really big beetles.
Okay.
That were like, they had microphones up to them, and it literally sounds like almost like metal clicking.
Okay.
Them breathing. Hmm. Very odd.
Well, it also, I feel like there's some inconsistencies with if this is just a spider that's leaving these puncture wounds and, you know, killing these people with the blood loss and all that. It said in that one, like, it started biting him over and over again. With the other people, it just had the one bite in the neck, and the girl had the one bite in the chest.
Yeah, probably because there wasn't another cop in there kicking it.
Yeah.
And swinging at it.
Okay, I don't know. But
because one was a guy that they found, like, hunched over.
Yeah.
So it could have overpowered him. And the other one was a little girl.
Like,
I don't know if it's an older gentleman or whatever.
Could have overpowered her easily, but...
Yeah, because that's what, like, tarantulas will do is they'll hold.
Hold you down?
Yeah, they'll hold victims, like the animals are eating, because they drink them.
I'm just wondering, though, if they do make up stories of these free creatures just to cover up. Because when you were talking about this stuff, I had to... something that was triggering in my head that a couple years ago, there was a story that came out. And I think we had talked about it a little bit. But out of Ukraine, I was been looking for it the past like 5 minutes trying to find it. Finally found there was a news article that came out. So I'll read this to you real quick. It's Ukraine's Ministry of Defense, this was in 2022, reveals mythical creature destroying Russian military bases.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. We covered this on the show.
So it's weird, and I'll just do the quick, it's a really short article.
That's fine, because we're ending it here after this, because we're already an hour.
Okay.
And we're going to do part two for this next week for Patreon.
Okay, then I'll end it with this then. So it says, the Ministry of Defense shared an image of a fictitious mythical creature, and I won't be able to say it, I'll try it. Bavovniatko.
It's like Baba Yaga.
There you go. Which claims it's responsible for the explosions at Russian military bases on the occupied territories of Ukraine. It says that's the name of the thing. Basically said it is fluffy, and this is how it translated what they wrote. The Ministry of Defense wrote on Twitter, like the official Ministry of Defense wrote this. It is fluffy and restless at night. The creature quietly sneaks into occupiers' bases, storage points, airfields, oil refineries, and other places filled with flammable goods and begins to play with fire. So they're saying this creature is sneaking in these Russian military bases that has flammable things and spits fire on it and blows all these places up.
We talked about this before. Do you remember what we kind of talked about?
What do we think it was?
It was maybe a translation error, and it was a guy.
Just doing it.
Yeah.
But they described it as a creature. Like fluffy and like, let me not say they're describing it as a creature. I think it was a guy doing it. I think it was them sabotaging the bases, purposely destroying them, and they're using the creature as a cover up. And I think maybe that's what's going on with a lot of these things. Maybe that's just a theme that they do is they use like these creatures. Because, I mean, let's be honest, most of the US, it's not occupied, it's very rural, but in those very rural areas, that's where we get all of our creature stories, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a very common, like, believable thing with being in Russia or Ukraine. I don't know. You get out past the cities where, like we discussed earlier, 90% of the places under ice or a tundra or something, like, unoccupied area. So I'm sure there's stuff living out there that can be very explainable. Yeah, there's weird things out there. And now they're coming in here to destroy these military bases. Oops. They just happen to choose these bases at times of war to do this, but that's what happened.
So next week we'll come back with ghosts, zombies, aliens, and more.
Wow.
Like I said, there's tons of like, Chernobyl's weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we even got to the Mothman stuff.
Uh-uh.
Mothman.
Bum, bum, bum.
But no, there's a lot of alien sightings, too.
Okay.
But zombies have been seen a couple times. Which we'll talk about next week.
Maybe we're getting somewhere. Maybe this is like the epicenter of all the aliens where they're hatch clone grown.
Or they're just refueling there because there's nuclear waste on the surface, so they can be like, oh, that's works.
That's a spot, yeah.
Well, it's catfish power spaceships, if you didn't know. So what do you think so far?
I mean, crazy. I think I don't know how much legitimacy I think in all these. I think at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff, especially coming from like this area, might just be a cover-up.
Sure.
So I think with the Chernobyl, I think there's very likely that there was some sort of cover-up with the Chernobyl being a cover-up or something else. I can totally believe that. I'm shocked they didn't blame the Chernobyl meltdown on some creature that snuck in the dead of night and sabotaged it. But
Russian horses.
Russian horses.
Which we'll talk about next week.
Okay. All right.
Because they've seen them exploding into spiders.
Okay. I did not know this.
No, I made it up.
Okay.
There are Russian horses. There are a lot of radioactive horses. Like wild horses.
Okay.
You ever seen a Russian horse?
I don't think so.
Little short red things.
Yeah, I don't know. They're
the meanest horse in the world.
Is it like a red Jimmy squirrel?
Kind of, yeah, because they're really nasty.
Okay. Well, yeah, look what they've been through.
Well, I mean, just talking in general.
Okay. Well, still.
From the last ice age, that's what wild horses actually look like for a long time.
That's awesome. We should get with some.
No, they're horrible.
We could domesticate them here.
They bite through people's skulls and stuff.
Some people need it.
Some people need it. No, so yeah, it's, I think there's tons more we're going to cover next week.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It's good. I like this.
Chernobyl's a weird place.
It definitely is, very.
Sorry for all the misreading today, guys. I don't know. I either need to drink more beer or less beer.
We'll figure that out.
I'm figuring it out right now.
Yeah.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I've been JClone37.
Thank you guys for your support. We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.